Coming to you from dreary Portland, Oregon.
What the fuck?
Shut up, lady. You're fucking up the audio.
Your hosts, Katie Cassidy and Aaron Brancher, have some hot takes on film, cinema, and the movies. That's all the same thing. It's the Ask Backwards Podcast. You idiot. You moron. You stupid bitch.
Wow.
All right. Let's just start it like this. Hi, this is the Ask Backwards Podcast. I'm Aaron Bratcher. Who are you?
I'm Katie Cassidy. And that's Aaron Bratcher. And this is the Ask Backwards Podcast.
I like your version better than mine. today we're talking about, what are we talking about, Katie?
Today we're going to be breaking down Kevin Smith, dude. Kevin Smith movies.
What was this?
breaking down. Yeah, dude, we're talking about Kevin Smith, talking about his movies, his... I know he's had a pretty big influence on you just in your directing and...
No, definitely.
Yeah. How you view maybe, like, the film industry because you listen to him a lot. So that'll be cool to hear more about. But... Yeah, I mean, how should we start? How should we jump in?
I don't know. I'm the tired, you know, out of it guy. So as usual on these things.
As usual, you'll get warmed up. You'll get into gear. Yeah. All right, I kind of just thought, like, warming up. What are your, like, top three favorite Kevin Smith movies out of?
Ooh, that's hard. That's a hard question because, yeah, you're right. I'll warm up. He has movies that I prefer over other ones, but his best movies are different movies. Like,
oh, for sure. Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Best movies are probably actually just Red State, Zack and Miri Make a Porno, and Jersey Girl. Those are probably his most competent films.
Mm-hmm. I have, for my favorites, Red State, Zack and Miri, but actually Chasing Amy is number one. But that is, I'll save that for later.
Those are probably his most competent films, and then Tusk is really well made.
Oh, yeah, that is like a cult classic. Like,
but my personal favorites is Dogma. Dogma. I don't know. Yeah, that's a hard one. Dogma, probably even Mallrats, which I know you're not huge on that one.
Just compared to all the other ones and how I, like, feel towards them, I didn't feel that as strongly towards Mallrats, but I did still enjoy it because it was, like, the characters that we all kind of know and like.
Yeah.
And have sort of a history with. Killing you.
Yeah. Sorry, dog problems as usual.
Mac is having a little peanut butter snack sesh.
It's good. We'll blame it on the rain outside. That's what that is. So what's your three?
Okay, so for me, like, I really like Chasing Amy, Red State, and Zack and Miri, and like you said, like, obviously Zack and Miri and Red State are two of the more competent ones. And I almost feel bad saying that those are my three favorite because, of course, Clerks was the first Kevin Smith movie I ever saw. I didn't even know I was, like, watching Kevin Smith movies. I was, like, a freshman when I saw it, and I really liked it, I remember. And I went and listened to the soundtrack, and then I started reading more about him, and that was, like, my intro to Kevin Smith. And I didn't really, like, realize that that was going to be, like, relevant and impactful now. Well, 10 years later, I'm 24. I was 14 when I first saw Clerks. And, I mean, Clerks 1 is... It was, like, shaping, I think, for indie film overall. Yeah, so I was saying, I feel like Clerks really was, like, genre-defining for indie cinema, you know? It came out, and we all know the story is on a shoestring budget and stuff, and, like, he kind of, I don't know, dude, that was, like, his break into film, as he says it, and it's really obviously clear, and he... kept those same core people, which I think is really cool because we always do all our work kind of with the same little, like, 4 to 6 people working on the same projects. And I like when I see that in, like, bigger projects. It's like, all right, we're on the right track. Yeah, like, we're doing, like, what they're doing.
No, it was the first film I really saw that it was just like, oh, yeah, we could do this.
Yeah.
You know, which I think that's most filmmakers' experience with it is, you know.
It puts it into a tangible light. Like, okay, I could do this too. Like,
yeah,
it's awesome. And then, okay, how do you feel about Clerks 2? Because that they obviously got money for that and a budget.
I like Clerks. You like it? Too. I think it's, you know, it's got your usual Kevin Smith problems of overwriting and the pacing, and, you know, it's a Kevin Smith movie, but, like, it's, no, I like Clerks 2.
Yeah, yeah, I do too. I feel like sometimes movies that started with a lower budget then get money, like, it feels sellout-y sometimes, and I didn't really feel like that with Clerks. too. It was just like, oh, cool, they got money, and they're using it in, like, a funny, cool way.
It's always felt like that with him. But his shit's so juvenile and stupid that it's just like...
I think it's romantic. I like it.
Most of it's... Okay, you're thinking of one movie.
I'm thinking of Jersey Girl. I'm thinking of Chasing Amy. I'm thinking a little of Clerks in a weird way. Tusk was sort of romantic. Zack and Mary's romantic.
Everything's so fucking juvenile and fart jokes and weed jokes. It's like, dude, it's so easy humor. Everything's,
but it works.
Everything's so dumb that it's just inoffensive. And you don't care that it's really stupid.
I feel like Dogma definitely, and Red State did not ride that inoffensive
Dogma's got some pretty stupid humor.
And it's, okay, maybe like dumber, lower brow humor, but as a whole, for what it's tackling, like...
No, I love Dogma.
Yeah,
I
mean, you just said that was one of your favorites. What are you talking about? Said it's so dumb.
But I'm saying,
idiot.
I'm saying it's so juvenile, like it's inoffensive. So even the fact that all these movies have such issues with, you know, just writing issues or, you know, just, you know, structure, it's, you don't care because at the end of the day, you know, it's inoffensive and it's all so inconsequential.
And it's charming, and I think, yeah. I think it's funny. I'm amused when I watch Clerks. I've seen it a million times. I still am amused with it. Zack and Miri still makes me laugh.
Well, that's good.
It's a funny movie. Like,
that's,
I think he's a funny guy.
That's probably, like, weirdly enough, like, besides, like, maybe Jersey Girl, that's probably his most mature movie.
Zack and Miri?
Yeah.
I feel like the concepts that he's putting into these, I mean, Dogma, you're talking about Catholicism being really picked apart and looked at. Chasing Amy, you're exploring, like, this young woman's bisexuality. And
Dogma's exploring, yeah. No, he's got his movies that explore things.
They have big
concepts
broken down with... maybe more.
But we're talking about like a three of them here. The rest are all kind of silly.
I mean, yeah, they're silly. That's the point. Like,
yeah,
they're lighthearted, but on big subjects, I feel like. I mean, for me,
I mean, Mallrats isn't about anything. Clerks isn't about anything.
Clerks is sort of SLC punk vibe, like growing up and seeing what you have in front of you isn't always what you need and stuff changes and you change.
I think you're reading into it too much. I don't think any of that's in there.
I think it is. I think it's about changing and your relationships developing. And
Harvey Weinstein was literally...
Harvey Weinstein is a creep that got his mitts on some good ideas.
Yeah. Made him better because the original ending is a guy walks in and shoots Dante. The movie was called Inconvenience. That's not what that movie was about. It was just Kevin Smith wrote, yeah, I sit around and talk about Star Wars and get high all day. Like, yeah, that's...
Yeah, but we see the relationships and growing through relationships.
No, it's definitely got good stuff.
With Veronica and Caitlin.
I'm not talking like it's a terrible movie or anything. I'm just saying, like... It's not deep. It's not, you know...
No, it's not the deepest film in the world. It's not, like, some big mind-boggling thing. But I think it does talk about, like, real young adult kind of shit. Like, you're...
Well, yeah. You write what you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, there's realism in there, yeah.
I like it. I like the dialogue in it, even though it is very Kevin Smithy and...
I like Clerks.
A little preachy. Like, I like it. I don't know. Something about it.
Mallrats is very stupid, but I like that. I know you're not a huge fan of that.
Yeah, I watched it for the first time the other day. That was like one, that and Cop Out are the only two I haven't seen from Kevin Smith. I'm good.
Yeah.
But, and I want, like I said, I was happy to see
you
the character.
You saw Yoga Hosers,
I did
bro?
See Yoga Hosers. Jeez. I did see Yoga Hosers. And I, like, obviously not my favorite movie or Kevin Smith movie, but I did love that he just, like, wanted to fucking make a movie with his daughter. Like, he's just like, I have money and this, like, opportunity and, like, let's go make this movie, kid. And now, you know, she is in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, she's coming up.
Yeah, she is.
She's in a few things I've seen now, yeah.
I just like him as a guy, and I know you do too. You spend hours listening to his stuff and
I listen to him talk almost every day, and I read his book and everything. It's really good. Mallrats is, you know, it's dumb.
Yeah, it is.
It's cute, but, you know, I like Ben Affleck.
Any chance to see Ben Affleck, I'm happy. He's a cool guy. He's a handsome guy.
So, Mallrats is fine. Chasing Amy.
I could go on and on about Chasing Amy.
That's the only one I haven't seen completely.
And I think you'd love it, because you're like the romantic guy. Like, you're like the soft-hearted romantic guy. And that's totally what that movie is, dude. So it's like...
The fuck are you talking about, bro?
Dude, you are. I am hard as shit, dude. So I feel like... like Ben Affleck, you know, and fucking
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck. Yeah, and oh my god, I'm totally like blanking.
Joey.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. Joey Lawrence Adams, you know, they're in it, and she was apparently Kevin Smith's girlfriend at the time, which I learned when I was listening to a podcast with him the other day, and he was saying that that movie was really just capturing, like, sort of the struggles they had when they were in that relationship together, where she was, like, the young woman exploring and comfortable with, like, her bisexuality and really didn't want to be nailed down to being with, like, a guy or a commitment, and that made him really insecure and caused all the problems that we see that happen in Chasing Amy. And, dude, I remember when I was younger, I saw that movie, like, freshman, sophomore year, and I had, like, oh, I was so locked far back in the closet. I was, like, not ready to, like, address my bisexuality. And so seeing that, like, deep in my mind, like, that was, like, really cool to me. Like, this girl was, like, so comfortable with it and so open with it. And, like, anyone that wasn't gonna just let her be herself was, like, not on her path. And so seeing that as a young girl that was still figuring that out was really kind of cool for me. Like, and they're cute together, and it is romantic, and fucking, what's his name? My Name is Earl. Help.
Jason Lee.
Yeah, he's in it, and he's so ridiculous, and as always, he's awesome. Yeah, he's just awesome and ridiculous. I love that movie. I think that's one of my favorites. It's tied between that and Red State. And Red State's fucking crazy.
Red State's got some fucking issues.
Like what? Okay, wait, I feel like it's not as popular. Should we run through what it is for anyone listening?
Let's just go down the list. We'll talk about each one individually. I don't know. I feel like that's an easy way to go about this.
Okay.
We'll get to Red State.
All right, so go ahead.
Oh, did you list them as...
No, I didn't, like, rank them, but I wrote them in different order for some reason.
Why?
I just did it.
I did it in the order they were made.
I was rewriting and... So what's on yours next?
Dogma. That's the next one he made after Chasing Amy.
Okay.
Dogma's cool.
Yeah, Dogma is cool. See Matt Damon in there? No, living up his Matt Damon self?
I want to say that's like his best written one.
You think so?
Maybe, yeah.
In his podcast, and I'm sure you already know he talks about when he was writing that it was like really his processing of growing up like in Catholicism and like moving into his own concept of what religion and like spirituality looks like. And like, I don't know, I just think it's really cool that making a movie about that, he did find a way to put like some heavy questions in a lighthearted, more even like you said, juvenile way. But it really was like the hard-hitting questions, like, what the fuck is this all about, dude? Like, what is this?
I love that in any filmmaker's career, how you see just where they're at in their life. You certainly see it in our shit.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah, I'd have to agree.
So, no, that's always cool. I love Dogma. I think, like you said, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon are awesome in that movie together.
Yeah, they have good chemistry.
Everybody's
always
awesome. That cast is, that movie's got like a fucking grade A cast. Alan Rickman, everybody. And then Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah.
So that's stupid as hell.
Of course.
It's cute. Again, inoffensive. It's like Mallrats. I would rank that like right with Mallrats. Like,
but that is such a cornerstone to like the stoner comedy genre, dude. Like, yeah, not a great film, like, woo, but I feel like it is such a important piece of like that whole genre. You know, we have How High, like all those kind of like silly stoner movie, Dazed and Confused, and I feel like Jay and Silent Bob is like right up there in it. And,
oh,
like,
definitely.
Even they now are still marketing. Before they did the reboot a few years back, they came out with their whole own strain of weed and shit and edibles, and that's what I got. I was in LA a few months ago and like went far as shit to go get the Jay and Silent Bob Moon Rocks, and it was worth it.
I don't really have anything to say. You're right, it is a cornerstone of stoner movies, but at the end of, you know, stoner movies are stoner movies.
No one's like trying to put them like up against Inception or something.
No one's
trying to do that.
It's a stoner movie. Who cares? Then he did Jersey Girl.
Do you think about Jersey Girl?
I really like it. I think it's a really cute and sincere movie.
Okay, so anyway, we're back again. Hello. All right.
Okay.
So Jersey Girl. What do you think about Jersey Girl?
I've seen Jersey Girl one time, but I had, you know, there's a good documentary, because there's a good documentary on every one of those movies, or most of them. But there's a good one on Clerks 2, and so he was talking about Jersey Girl, and he always just talks so much shit about it, and how it's not his movie, and, you know, like...
Whose is it, if he doesn't feel that it's his? Did someone else have their hands on it?
Like, it wasn't his, and he was doing it for a studio, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It was like a big Weinstein movie. Like, it was treated, you know, like an Oscar movie. Like, it was treated like a real drama or something.
Yeah.
And not a Kevin Smith movie.
Yeah. He shines in the indie category.
Yeah, but I think that movie's super genuine and cute. And, yeah, it feels like a little polished family movie, you know? But, one... Ben Affleck's super likable and awesome, as always. Thank you. And it's also just a really cute movie, and George Carlin's great, and the writing's good. You know, like, it's Kevin Smith, but, yeah, toned down. And he had the fat trimmed out of it, so it's a watchable, good movie. Which you kind of feel that in Zach and Miri Make a Porno, too.
I love that movie.
Super polished, fat-trimmed-out version of Kevin Smith, which is super digestible. Where a lot of his shit's just chewing the scenery, and it's just, you know, dialogue for dialogue's sake.
Yeah, that's fair. There is
like
a lot of...
Like, who doesn't edit his scripts?
There is a lot of dialogue for dialogue's sake, and I do know that a lot of feedback that people will give on his movies is that everyone sounds like a Kevin Smith character, and I've heard his counter-feedback to that is, I don't care, they are Kevin Smith characters. Like, he knows what he's doing, and he's like, fuck it, like, it's my thing, I'm doing it.
No, and it's working for him. And he doesn't claim to be a good filmmaker, he's constantly talking shit on himself.
Yeah, he seems like such a down-to-earth, like, cool human dude. Like,
yeah.
And I'm sure it's hard to lose touch with that at a certain point, and it seems like he really... is like human guy.
Yeah,
but a lot of people are just larger than life, like can't imagine interacting with them. Like, it seems like he really goes out of his way to touch base with his fan base and like make movies that kind of are in that same target area. Like, I don't know, I think at a certain point it is nice, not important, but maybe nice to cater a little bit to your audience and your fan base. You know the characters they like, the stories they like.
Well, that's all he's doing now. We'll get to that. Now all he's doing is pandering to his fan base. But I don't know. I think Jersey Girl's an attempt at, you know, making a mainstream movie, and I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's cute.
And then he went and did Clerks 2, which is like the most indulgent movie ever.
Yeah.
It's just so overly long, with just characters talking.
Yeah, it is long.
Talking. And it's just like, trim the fat, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, like, revise that a couple times.
I mean, I like these characters. I like this world, but, like... So I don't really care that I have to spend extra time with them, you know? But
if
we're looking at... We should look at these like we look at all movies as a piece of work, you know?
Yeah, instead of being like, I love Kevin Smith,
we're forgiving
so this is
it because he's, you know, he doesn't claim to be a good filmmaker, but it's like, okay... And he's not, or maybe he's not trying to a certain level because he's just being him. We should still, you have to rate these, you know, according to how you would rate every movie. So,
I don't know, bro. Not now, we don't. Now we're just in Kevin Smith land. We're in Miramax land without rapist additions, you know? That's where we're at on this one. Like, so what? Fine. It doesn't stand up to, like, fucking, like, What's Eating Gilbert Grape. Like, obviously. Mm-hmm. Obviously. But still, for what it is and what they are, like, they're, like, I think a little, like, mini-genre in itself, really.
Yeah, for sure.
What's after Jersey Girl?
That was Clerks 2.
Oh, Clerks 2. What's after Clerks 2?
Zach and Miri Make a Porno. Another feels like a polished mainstream movie, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was a Kevin Smith movie the first time I watched it.
I didn't either. So. I did not know that either. The only kind of giveaway was Jason Mewes, really.
Yeah. A few, and Randall, like.
Oh, yeah, for sure, and Randall.
A few cast members, but I don't know. So, I don't know, that one's fun. It's
cute. I think Zach and Miri honestly explores, like, an obvious real-life problem a lot of friendships and couples have, dude. Like, they're like the homies, and then they like hook up and shit goes like haywire, and then Kevin Smith writes his Kevin Smith ending, and it's happy and romantic and it's cute and like everything works out, and Seth Rogen's funny and Justin Long is in it and being the funny Justin Long guy. And I think though that it did talk about like some real stuff and like real relationship dynamic changes. While of course it's funny, and
that one's good. Yeah, I think it's one of his better movies. Like I said, it's one of his top three most competent. Like, you know,
competent in what sense? Like, what do you consider to be competent for?
I'm just saying, like, better put together, not super indulgent, dealing with the realest shit. You know, has the best characters. You know.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. Like, I don't know, in my opinion, a better movie or film.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I for sure agree.
I like other ones more, but that doesn't mean, you know, I prefer that. Well, I do prefer it, because I'd rather watch Dogma. But, you know, some of these other ones are better movies.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
I'm done here, so.
Let me see. I'll take my final hits.
Yeah. Then he did Cop Out, which...
I haven't seen Cop Out, so what's up with Cop Out? What's the deal?
Title is... it's too ironic. It's like... It's not even a joke. Like... It's just... It's bad, man. It's Tracy Morgan and Bruce Willis.
Movie. Okay, I heard him talk about it, but I haven't seen it. So that's what that was. Okay.
He's the first one to tell you it's like the, you know, biggest piece of shit.
Yeah, I heard him saying he did not really enjoy it on set. That it was a little like not the vibe he would hope for. So that sucks, and I guess that showed through the movie. It sounds like
sucks. He's the first one to admit it, but it's like super generic. Yeah, it ain't good.
Fair enough.
And then after that, he had a little lull, and then he came back to it indie style with Red State, which he did himself, you know, like.
Red State is so underrated, and I can't find it anywhere. You have to, like, search for it, you know?
The Blu-ray.
Why did they take it away on everything? Was it because of the Weinstein people, or, like, what's up?
I don't know. It might just be not released, you know?
Yeah, because it used to be streaming on, like, everything, and I don't know if it was because it was controversial or because, like, when everyone was getting outed as, like, predators, like, a lot of that stuff got pulled off of certain streaming platforms. But I'm disappointed that it's not more places, because I wish, like, I hope and wish people, like, listening go, like, search it. Go, like, search for it. It's worth the search, I feel like.
Yeah, no, it's like a really good movie. It's got problems, and it's super indulgent and Kevin Smithy, but... From this point on in his career, that's all he's doing is indulging himself. And I actually think it's kind of a positive thing, you know? It's nice to see a filmmaker who's just doing him, man.
He's
and
just
enjoying
fucking
it.
Vibing.
And he's doing what he thinks is right, and he's failing it. And, okay, fuck it.
Yeah.
So,
like he's just telling stories.
I respect the hell out of him. And, you know, I watch all these movies. You know, I could even say I like most of them. But yeah, you know, he's making Kevin Smith movies. You know, they're a thing of their own.
But he made Kevin Smith movies a thing.
Yeah, no, it's cool.
He
is quite literally like this ambassador of pop culture and a big part of it. You know?
For sure. So Red State, yeah. For anyone that hasn't really seen it, it's like, how do you even quickly run through that fucking movie?
Hey man, like a bunch of teenagers. Go on Craigslist and try and fuck some MILF.
Yeah.
Like a four-way or something. And then it's some ruse by, like, some Westboro Baptist church people.
Yes.
Who kidnap them. And then the ATF comes in, and then it shows some government conspiracy. It's basically a retelling of the Waco thing.
That really is what it is, huh?
And then the movie seems to be building towards some sort of religious, or, you know, big edge. And we're really getting there, and then the movie just poops the bed for the last 6 minutes.
Why do you think that? I don't really remember.
The movie's building towards this, like, religious climax.
Yes.
Like, everything means something and all this crap. And at the end of the movie, you hear the fucking horns playing, and you're like, all right.
It was crazy.
Like, they're right. They were right. And then it just cuts to that exposition scene, and John Goodman's
ghost. Oh, yeah.
And then these college kids played the horns. And the movie just shits the bed.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. It does.
Because he was writing the movie. And Kevin Smith, I listened to the whole podcast and he talked about writing it. And he was saying, like, how the whole way while he was writing it, he just was just going where he wouldn't expect it to go. Like, yeah. All right, well, this is where I would go if I'd seen it. But, you know, this is where I think it'd be crazy if it didn't. And so he was just going to have the movie end, and they were right, you know, and the rapture would actually happen.
I would have liked that ending. I would have taken that ending easier than the one we got.
He couldn't think of an art. He was like, oh, that would cost this much money, and he just pussied out and wrote the stupid
ending that we got.
Ending,
I don't want to spoil too much because I do want people to watch it.
It gets into the bureaucracy of it all, you know.
Yeah.
So it's fine. Thematically, it still fits with the movie, but, like, he could have came up with some artful way just to show, like, yeah, it really did happen. They were right.
Yeah.
That movie would be so awesome.
I would have liked that.
It would literally be a classic.
Yeah. It would have.
And he just pansied out and ruined his own movie.
That does suck. And, I honestly forgot that the ending did that. And now that you're reminding me, I almost don't know if it's my top three favorite. And I think it's a good movie. I think everyone should go watch it. But now I don't know about it being my top three fave. I don't know.
Yeah, it really shits the bed at the end.
Yeah. Damn. Still worth watching, though.
No, it's
cool.
Good
story. Cool concept.
And it's filmed in a really manic and cool way.
Dude, this guy is not going to start playing.
Please, no. All right.
All right, so finally back to Red State. Yeah, I mean, it's filmed cool, and I was saying, like the direction that it was going in, but the ending, as you reminded me, is not what it could have been, and that takes it, like, lower on my list if I were to have it, like, fully ranked.
Yeah. And then you did Tusk.
Dude, Tusk, don't play with me. Tusk, first of all, is a staple of our friendship.
Yeah, Tusk is pretty cool.
No, dude, Tusk was awesome and, like, I don't know, super weird and creepy and honestly a really disturbing idea. Like, the fuck?
I love the concept and how they decided to make it of, you know, they were just... And I've heard the actual podcast, the one where they were just, you know, making up, like, what would be the stupidest story ever.
Oh, so you heard, like, its origin story of how it came to get made. That's cool.
And so then they're like, yeah, let's just make that movie.
Yeah.
And so they made the Walrus movie because they just thought that was so funny and outlandish. And so, like, that's the whole point of the movie. And if you look at it like that, the first time I watched it, it kind of, like, really disturbed me.
Yeah, it's weird as fuck, right? Like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
And then the second time I watched it, knowing it was a comedy, I was like, that might be, like, one of the funnier movies I've seen. Like, it's super clever. It's that's up there in his really well-put-together movies. But it is super indulgent. And
the Johnny Depp scene makes me want to blow my brains out of my head.
Yeah, it is... That movie's super indulgent as well.
Yeah.
So it's got its Kevin Smith problems.
But overall, funny. I like it. I really like that they came up with it on a podcast and then put the podcast as, like, their main thing in there. Justin Long and Sixth Sense guy. What's his name again? Fucking help me.
Haley Joel Osment.
Haley Joel Osment was in there. He's cool.
No, I like
that
him.
His face is the same. It makes me feel comforted. So
have you
nice.
Seen the... Oh, no, you probably haven't watched The Boys. There's a TV... Never mind. I can't tell. I can't say anything. He's in there and he has an awesome death. Like, the way he dies in the show is...
Spoiler.
Really cool.
To anyone that cares about Boys.
Yeah, it was Boys. The first season. The second season's out now.
Oh. Spoiler, it's been too long. Yeah, I don't know. I really... Tusk cracks me up. It's weird as fuck. It's creepy. I think, actually, now that I'm saying this out loud, Tusk replaces Red State in my top three favorites.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Tusk has problems, though, like we said.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The big problem-focused guy.
Bro.
Tusk. Fucking, I almost said lobsters don't cry. Walruses don't cry.
Lobsters don't cry. You meatball.
Oh, God.
Okay. No, Tusk is cool.
Other than the you feeling like it's indulgent Kevin Smith problems? Like, what other problems? Because, like, yeah, it's wordy at some points. Like, fine. It's a little, like, whatever.
It drags on, but... No, I mean, it looks really good. I think it is genuinely disturbing at points.
Yeah.
And,
Dude, what the hell is going on? Airplane? There's never airplanes over here. That sounds really scary.
Well, if this is it, this is it, guys. I've had a good life. I have a good wife.
To my enemies, I will haunt you from the grave. I never hear planes over
Pond's
here.
Volition, coming December 25th.
Yeah, Pond's Volition, our legacy will live on. Please watch it.
Okay. Well, that was weird.
That was so weird. Okay, so Tusk. Yeah, dude. Just think real life concept, like outside of the movie. If you were fucking snatched, if you were snatched by a Canadian senior citizen, you're snatched by this geriatric Canadian dude who seems cool and then stuffs you into a fucking walrus suit. Like this is outside the movie, but imagine you, Aaron Bratcher, in this position. You go somewhere to like film a movie or something, right? This guy's like, oh, I want you to film a documentary on my life. And then... Walrus, dude. Walrus time.
You get tusked.
Could you actually imagine?
That's horrifying.
It's totally horrifying. Well, when he threw him into the water to fight for his, like, stop calling him a lobster? His lobster life, his walrus life. Would you have swam and tried to fight for it? Or would you have just, like, called it a day and sunk to the bottom?
I don't know. I'm not in that position.
Put your mind in that position right now.
I don't want to, bro.
Run to your head. You're in a walrus suit. You're gonna fucking drown if you don't swim your walrus body.
This sounds like one of those POV TikTok videos you watch.
POV, you're a man turned into a walrus.
Some pretty boy. But he's got his fingers in his mouth. Crying.
Oh my god, he takes two pens. Yeah,
he just cries. Mr. Tusk, look handsome.
Yeah, that's the new TikTok trend. It's coming. We're starting it after this podcast.
We just need to find a 16-year-old pretty boy.
We'll call my brother.
That never looks professional.
Yeah, we'll call my brother, ask him to become our TikTok spokesman.
Okay.
Is
yeah.
it?
No, yeah.
Keep an eye out, you guys. It's coming.
That's what we're doing now. Okay, yeah, Tusk is cool.
Yeah, Tusk is where it's at.
And then he made yoga hosers.
Sure did. Like I said earlier, it's cool as hell he made that with his kid. And it was, like, a fun thing for them to do. And, like, that's awesome.
It is just so lame.
It is not a good movie.
Yeah.
I don't like it. But I do like that they did it together.
Yeah.
But I don't like it.
But then he made another movie with his daughter, and it's actually pretty good.
What movie?
Jay and Silent Bob reboot, like, she's actually pretty good in it.
I haven't seen the reboot, actually. Okay. That sucks. Yeah, I want to see the reboot, because I know they brought...
I'll give you the my copy of it.
Nice. Yeah, now I can watch movies.
Yeah. We hooked you up with a PS3. Yeah, state of the art.
It was an AB Films giveaway.
Or outdated piece of software.
Yeah, I'll take it. But yeah, so I haven't seen the reboot. I do want to see it.
It's super genuine, and, you know, it gets the Kevin Smith pass. So, you know, like, I went into it, this is going to be a super Kevin Smith movie.
Yeah.
And then it is just an homage to Kevin Smith movies.
So, reboot, it's a remake, or it's part two?
It's a part two to Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Okay, so it picks up right after it left off?
Like 20 years later.
Oh, so, okay, time has passed, and we're now in real time with Jay and Silent Bob.
Yeah,
okay, cool.
It's real date. So, it picks up there, and they're trying to stop a reboot of the movie that they stopped the first time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, wow, yeah.
And so it's
so long.
Just the same movie.
Wait, hold on. Is my mind mixing something up? What's up with the Jay and Silent Bob where they go to, like, save the animals with those girls in the van?
That's the same, that's the Straight Back. That's the first
Jesus,
one.
That's all one movie?
Yeah, bro.
Oh my god, why
this shit's so messy. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So
it's cool, it's cute.
That's everything he's done. I mean, he's done, like, anthology movies and stuff, but I don't know. None of that's any good, so.
Not on the list. I think, though, he really has been, like, in so many ways, like, really a pioneer. Like, in indie cinema, in podcasts even, like, he was really, like, one of, like, the main first dudes to, like, get out there and be, like, interacting with his fan base. Like, that's another thing.
Yeah, don't let my sleepy attitude, like, not convey, like, how important he is to my life. Like, yeah.
I literally love him. Don't think I don't
this
love
man is
him.
My, this guy's my hero, okay? And, no, he's, yeah, no, he's been such an inspiration to me. It just, you know, so that's why he'll always get the pass, you know?
Yeah. It's, he gets the pass because he made up the Kevin Smith movie, so it's his pass. He made it.
It's, like, awesome because he doesn't belong, and that's the whole cool thing about him, you know? And his movies kind of don't either.
Yeah.
So.
But they're, yeah, but they work still.
Yeah, because it's cool. It's cool that he gets the chance to do it, so you like to watch it, you know?
Yeah. And I do love that Ben Affleck still stays popping up in his stuff, dude. Like, Ben Affleck's so larger than life.
Yeah, like how big they are by life. Like, I'm super in on Ben Affleck. Like, he's like, I have a tattoo.
Yeah,
like, I'm super fat, big fan of Ben Affleck. And then, so for years, they haven't been talking to each other or, like, friends or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were, like, almost wrapped on reboot. And then he kind of heard that Ben Affleck was in the area, and he was like, hey, man, like, would you like to come hang out? Like, because somebody...
That's honestly awesome.
Somebody was talking to Ben Affleck on Triple Frontier, I believe, which is a cool movie he did semi-recently. Some reporter was talking to him on that, and they were like, some guy's a big Kevin Smith fan, so, like, brought it up, Kevin Smith movie. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, I love Kevin. And, like, I guess that got around to Kevin Smith. So he's like, hey, would you like to come out? And he wrote him, it's a continuation of the Chasing Amy story. His character in that.
He was saying that on the podcast I was listening to. He's back as Holden.
Yeah. And,
that's awesome.
And she's in it as well.
Joey Lawrence. That's awesome.
So.
Yeah, I gotta watch it.
So that's like the best shit in the movie, too. And it's just this added scene, but it's like the heart of the movie. That's like the big scene. And Ben Affleck's great and stuff. And so, like, his whole behind the scenes... His behind the scenes is far more interesting than any of his movies.
Yeah. Yeah. I think because it's authentic, you know? And, like, everyone likes to see that authenticity in people that are, you know, content creators on such a large scale. See, like, they're people and they have fun and they, like, fuck up. And, like, that's cool. It's human.
No, he's... I love the guy. He's awesome. I just... Yeah. These movies are what they are.
Yeah. An art in itself.
Well, I mean, what else is there to say?
I don't know. Other than December
25th. Oh, my God. You can't just end it with an ad for Bond's Volition coming December 25th. To Amazon Prime.
That's so tacky. You're just going to bring up that Bond's Volition starts streaming December 25th on Amazon
Bro,
Prime.
Bro, I don't know. You can't just go right out and tell people that on AskBackwardsFilms.com, there'll be several links to Bond's Volition coming December 25th.
No, that's tacky. We can't act like that.
You can't do that at all. Like that. That's fucked up. We're here to talk about it. That's so funny. And this little bit afterwards, pathetic too. This whole thing sucks.
We suck.
This is awful. What are we doing? Shit, man. Okay, that's it. What else do we have to say, man? That's a really short one.
Do we have what are we doing next week? We haven't nailed it down, huh?
Fuck.
Oh, no, we're doing our top 10 most, like, meaningful movies to us.
Oh,
right
yeah,
now, right?
No, our top 10 favorite movies right now for whatever reason.
Yeah, so.
So
what we're enjoying, what we're liking, so you guys can come listen next week. That's what we're doing, just talking about what movies we like. So you get some personal opinions.
Yeah, and we could start doing this regularly, you know, every 2 months or so.
Yeah, and give some updates.
Because, yeah, your movies change.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, dude, but some, I do have some that are my, like, have will always be on that list. Like, they will always be on there.
They will always be on there.
No matter what.
I have to put it in there a second time. They'll be there.
You think they won't? They will. They're going to be there.
I fucking swear to God, Aristocats is not coming out of it. That movie's fucking timeless.
Classic.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll be, what's that, Saturday?
Yeah.
The video will probably be out, you know, whenever I get around to doing it. I got to.
Life's crazy.
I got to work on another movie.
Yeah, this guy's editing a whole other movie. Which, you know, after you finish watching Pawn Volition on December 25th, you can watch Showdown to Yesteryear.
Yeah, that'll be out, like, I don't know, March or something.
Soon.
Yeah, okay. We'll end it there. I am so tired, dude. This one, sorry, everybody.
I think that it was a grand slam.
Shit, okay, yeah. I was going to go over some sort of Denny's joke. About, like, you know, getting the sleepitis after eating Denny's with a grand slam. You know what? It was too complicated, and that's why I didn't do it. But your look kind of threw me for, like, I should explain why that was pathetic.
You know? I like the explanation of the joke more than I like the actual joke. And I'm glad that I didn't hear the joke, that I just heard the explanation.
I thought you would, so...
All right, next week, top 10.
I'm going to go to bed. Okay, peace out.
Me.
Coming to you from dreary Portland, Oregon.
What the fuck?
Shut up, lady. You're fucking up the audience.
Your hosts, Katie Cassidy and Aaron Brancher, have some hot takes on film, cinema, and the movies. That's all the same thing. It's the Ask Backwards Podcast. You idiot, you moron, you stupid bitch.